Good morning, CCC. It's a Tuesday night where I am right now, and I'm at Mary Beth's mother's house in Edmond, Oklahoma. Her mom is going to have surgery tomorrow. And so I'm doing this video instead of being there in person. I'm going to be actually in Arkansas this morning as you're watching this. But I really wanted to talk to you about this today, this message from James. But I have this question: why do we do sermons anyway? And so the question, the answer is, I think, is a good answer to that, why do we do sermons anyway, is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." That's what James does. James is encouraging us to be the best we can be. Now, when I was a kid, I loved the game of Monopoly. It was my favorite game, and I've been playing a little Monopoly here for you today. And I played all the time when I went to my cousin's house, and my cousins and I, my cousin Sam and my cousin Leslie, we would play Monopoly all night long. And then if we finished a game, we'd start another one. The thing is, in those days, by the way, I won this game. I was playing against myself. But in those days, Sam won every game. And I thought, I looked up to him so much because that dude could play Monopoly, and I love Monopoly, and he was the best there was. But what I found out just a few years ago, 50 years after the fact, that he cheated. Can you believe it? My cousin cheated me in Monopoly. He was a couple of years older in years, but he was way wiser than me in how to cheat at Monopoly. But why am I starting this off about Monopoly anyway? Well, Monopoly. I loved it. But on further review, Monopoly. I asked the question today, and now that I'm a little older, what life lessons does the game Monopoly teach? Well, it's just a game, right? And games, they don't shape our thoughts about life. It's just a game. Games don't shape our values, or maybe they do. Think about what the game Monopoly is about. It's getting the most money you can, and it's to destroy whoever gets in your way. Is that right? If there was a Jesus version of Monopoly, there'd be a community chest card that read this. It said, and this is based on Luke 18, the community chest card in the Jesus version would say, "If you sell everything you have and give to the poor, then you can get out of the prison of greed and selfishness." Ouch! Wait, it's just a game. Games don't, they really don't shape our values, or do they? Well, James addresses the issue of wealth several times in the book of James, just five chapters, and he hits it over and over and over. And this lesson today won't be the last one we do about wealth and how to deal with it, because James has a lot to say about it. But you know what? He doesn't have quite as much to say about it as Jesus did in the Gospels. It's so important. It's an important thing that we need to get our mind around first and let our mind transform our hearts regarding wealth, regarding money. And money is just a tool. God's given it to us to use, but to use wisely. And so James is going to try and help us regarding just the power of money and how to deal with it. So first we're going to read the scripture for today, and it's just these verses, James chapter 1. And it says this: "Believers in humble circumstances," and in his day that meant poor, ought to take pride in their high position. They're in low, they're low in wealth, but they have this high position. He'll get to that later in the book. And then the next verse says, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation. Whoa, what is that? What does that mean? Take pride in humiliation if you're rich. It says, because the rich will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with a scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls, its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. What's this about? Well, I'm going to suggest that James is talking as much about status as he is your actual, you know, wealth or bank account. What he's talking about is a desire to be in control. And that's another issue that'll be in the rest of the book of James. And so this idea about status is really important for us today to hear this about how wealth influences our understanding of these two things. First, worldview, and second, identity. So today we're going to explore those two points that really are fundamental in these verses. Worldview and identity. So regarding worldview, there's a worldview that money makes the world work. That's what makes things happen. That our quality of life depends on our net worth. You know, it's the idea that if you have it, money, then you have lots of options, lots of good things you can do with your money, lots of things you're free to do so much more than if you don't have wealth. And we understand that. That makes sense in this, and that's our world, as part of our worldview. That's how money works. That's the way the world works. Well, and the other side of that is if you don't have money, you're in trouble. You're vulnerable. Maybe you're even second class. The rich become the powerful. That's part of our worldview. And regarding life goals in this worldview is the idea that money, regarding money, more is always better. Whether you're rich, more is better. If you're poor, more is better. It's not just the rich that have this worldview, it's the poor. And James is addressing both sides of the coin, both the rich and the poor. They both have this, I think, warped worldview, not a Christian worldview, not the worldview of Jesus or his Father God. So that worldview, though, says, you know, if you have money, you can do so much. If you don't have money, you can't do very much. When I was teaching in college, I taught Bible there for 12 years, and it was like one of the questions I would always ask at the beginning of each class, why did you come to college? These are sophomores. Why did you come to college? Well, they'd say I came because I want to get a job. And I always think, you know, you could get a job without going to college, right? So what do you mean? Well, I want to get a good job. Okay, what does a good job mean? Well, a good job always meant the one that makes more money. That's what a good job is. A good job is doing something I like and making a lot of money doing it. And then I said, well, then what are you going to do with your money? Well, I'm going to send my kids to college. So you know what? So that they can make more money too. And so it's this cycle. And the idea is that if you make a lot of money, you can control your lifestyle. Remember, the name of this series is It's the Lifestyle of the Saved. And the idea in this worldview is that what really shapes and really controls your lifestyle is your net worth. It's how much money you have. That's going to control your lifestyle. It's going to control the house you live in. It's going to determine what kind of car you drive. It's going to determine what neighborhood you live in, and then that's going to determine what school your kids go to, because again, they got to get a good education so they can go to college so that they can make more money. So this cycle goes on and on. It's about your toys. And you know what I mean by adult toys. It's a boat. You know, it's the latest technology. It's, just fun stuff. It's vacations. It's where you go on vacations. You know, the poor don't have a lot of options about vacations, but the rich do, and this is what we're all after that. I want to have a good vacation someday. It also shapes what we think about being a failure or a success. We will often call a person, you'll ask about a person you don't know, are they successful? What does that mean? Well, does that mean, yeah, they've made a lot of money. Their net worth is really high. That's a very successful person. Or a failure. A failure who's not got a job that pays very much. They come from a family who doesn't have very much. Failure and success. I got a lot of it. Or for me, part of me is prestige. What do other people think about you? This really hit home after I'd gotten a divorce. I made some decisions about how I was going to divorce, and I forfeited a lot of my net worth that was really part of my retirement. And so that wise man I told you about last week, he said, you're going to have to be on a real tight budget. And it was really tight. I've been working at ACU for 38 years. And 35 years when I made this decision to get a divorce and do this with my finances. So I was kind of wiped out regarding retirement. But it really hit home when I got a new job. I was the director of housing, and I was going to invite all of the people that were working for me over to my house. Well, I lived in a very small two-bedroom apartment, real small bedrooms. It's 750 square feet. I had moved from a 2,500 square foot house when I was still married, but then when I got a divorce, I had to give up a lot of that. And man, it hit me when these people came over to my house. What are they going to think about me? This idea of wealth and money. And again, this is what James is addressing. He's not even addressing the idea about people having a lot of money and spending it wrongly. He's addressing the feeling you have when you have a lot of money, which is pride, and the feeling you have when you have almost no money, and that is envy. See, the poor are guilty of being envious of the rich. And that was their worldview. Success means lots of money. Well, that's not the worldview of God. That's not the worldview that Jesus taught. But beyond that, there's this situation, this idea of identity. And when it comes to identity, what defines you? What makes you, you? Well, for a lot of people, what defines them is their stuff. But that's not what defines me. It's not really what defines you. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a child of God, your stuff doesn't define you. Again, it's not your house or your car or your clothes. None of that. It's not your toys. It's not your vacations. That's not what defines you. That's not who you are. And so this is the point that James is trying to make, is your identity is not wrapped up in your net worth. Your identity is not wrapped up in the fact that you have a big house, or that you have a fancy car, or that you have money to spend on vacations all around the world. That's not what defines you. What defines you is the fact that you are a child of God, whether you're rich or poor. And so the thing that James is addressing isn't the way people spend their money. He'll get to that later in the book. But right here, he's talking about how they feel about themselves, their status, their worldview, the idea that monopoly has shaped their worldview. And to be successful, to be a winner, you have to have lots of money, more than everybody else. And you'll do whatever it takes to get there. And this is the danger of wealth. Not just for wealthy people, but for also for poor people. Because the person who's poor and is envious of the rich is in just as dangerous situation as the person who is arrogant about being rich. Both of them have the wrong worldview, and they have a wrong understanding of their identity. See, the thing is, God wants us to know that we're His sons and we're His daughters. And that's what He wants us to understand in this teaching. It's not about how much you are worth financially. It's about how much you're worth to God. And let me think, how much are you worth to God? God sent His Son to die for you. That's how much you're worth to God. He doesn't care about your bank account. He wants to know, do you love Him? You know, love is really the key to quality of life. The quality of life doesn't depend on the economy. The quality of life depends on your relationship with God. In Monopoly, money makes you a winner. But in life, and I'm not talking about the board game life, but in real life, relationship with God makes you a winner. You see, the economy can't save you, but Jesus did. Hope this is something you can think about and might have some meaning for your situation, whether you're rich or poor. I feel like a rich man, and part of it is because I get to preach to you guys every Sunday. Love you so much, and so I'm hoping you have a great day today, worshiping, and a great week. We'll be back with more of James next week. Thank you.